It's 5:32 p.m. Arabian Standard Time. This is Omar WJ Show. I think I'll just hang with this title the rest of my podcasting. That's the big plan. Let me get the what I got recorded played. Just a moment here, excuse me.
Charles Dickens, the famous English author. I guess he's an archetype. Said that the law is an ass, and he was a court reporter for a long time. Hemingway worked for the Kansas City Star, so there's a lot to be said for that writing. Learning how to tell stories. So what's real sad is this cop who shot Dante Wright gets 2 years in prison. Dante Wright was this guy who got pulled over, I guess because he had something on his rearview mirror. And, you know, everybody and their brother puts air fresheners on their rearview mirrors. Wright's mother, Katie Wright, said after the sentencing that Potter murdered my son. Today, the justice system murdered him all over again. The cop said she was Kim Potter. God's curse is upon her name. Said she was reaching for her taser. And the taser is a lot bigger than the pistol. You know, people freak out and do the wrong things, but, you know, cops are supposed to be trained. Let's see. There's a new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie out. Michigan woman turning 100 adds another tattoo. Raccoon falls through the ceiling into a packed LSU, that's famous university. Raccoon falls through the ceiling in a packed LSU dining hall. Israeli strawberry clocks in as world's heaviest on record. Strip search optional. Volunteers to test new Swiss jail. Okay. Chelsea Clinton to launch children's book this fall. Chelsea Clinton. That's the other Chelsea. Let's see. A rare look at tattooed flesh on Olympic ice. What's one thing that is less visible at the Winter Olympics than it is at the Summer Games? Tattoos. With athletes dressed for the weather, you can't see their tattoos. Curling might be the one exception. Still can't believe that's a sport in the Olympics. So let's see.
Oh, sorry about that. Excuse me, I was doing some household chores here. Pardon me, please forgive me. Okay, let me play this next thing.
The teacher's a teacher, I was terrible at it.
So he asked a former student of his for help.
And he talked about the idea of a poetry slam.
It's a competition in which poets perform spoken word poetry before a live audience.
And the student with the lowest grade in my class ended up winning it. And I realized this is something powerful.
It was 1999, and Khan created an after-school spoken word club at Oak Park.
Very good. Snap if you agree with that assessment. Post definitely. Yeah, what would you like to add?
That's Con teaching a class earlier this month. A new anthology features some of the club's students and alumni.
There are three things we never talk about in my house. My adoption, sex, and gay thoughts. We have more secrets than furniture. They lounge on the couch and sit with us for dinner. Mama taught me taboos are for brown women who have trouble conceiving and are faking being ashamed of that.
That's Anandita Vidyarthi with a poem called Bye Bye Brown Girl. It's part of the anthology Respect the Mic.
Respect the Mic was something we originally said in the club when people were talking in the audience, and it became a motto for the club.
Dan Sullivan, people call him Sully, is one of the four editors of the anthology. He went from planning to drop out of school on his 17th birthday to starring in the club the year it was created.
My friends and I would have these freestyle ciphers in the hallways and things, but I was often not engaged in the classroom. And I think that what the club really did was bridge the gap between the classroom and the students' lived experience. And for me, it was that missing piece.
Hanif Abdul-Rakib also edited the book. He came up in the world of slam poetry, and he says it's a tool especially suited for younger poets. He recalls some of the poems in the anthology's first section called Notes from Here.
What was great about a lot of these poems for me were the ones that dealt with geography.
Kara Jackson wrote about her experience traveling to Europe as a Black American in a poem called Portrait of Venice with a Side of Pasta.
On the water, a tour guide talks about the boats, but not who built them. I sneak out of the tour line to share a seat on the rocks with a Dominican boy who is quiet but knows who built them too. Back on board, he and I have the audacity to share leg room. At home in America, my auntie is afraid of water. She cooks pasta in her own fear, runs a bath with her own history.
Abdul-Rakib says the anthology can take this power of poetry and move it beyond the Oak Park classroom.
My hope is that it's a book that can serve as both an inspirational tool and a model for schools and poetry programs everywhere.
And ultimately, the club's creator, Peter Kahn, thinks the book will help teachers like him, who were once afraid of poetry, to get not just themselves, but their students excited about it. Jivika Verma, NPR News.
Okay.
As a teacher, I was terrible at it.
So he asked a former student of his for help.
And he talked about the idea of a poetry slam.
It's a competition in which poets perform spoken word poetry before a live audience.
Canadians feel like there's a party and they're not included.
Craig Ferguson said that. I just heard that. He said that a long time ago.
Stephen Wright. My hobby is not committing suicide.
I thought that was hilarious. He's, I want to remember who he is.
This is from the New York Post. And, making sure you have a healthy diet is a key way that you can prevent strokes. And this is February 15th. And Terry Ann Williams wrote this in The Sun. We all like to imagine, or we all like to indulge in fizzy drinks, but experts have warned some popular beverages could increase your risk of a stroke. A stroke is a serious...
The title of the article is How Canceled Reached Peak Semantic Power. And it's in the Atlantic.
Okay. That other thing I just ended. Energy drinks aren't any good for you, so they're saying.
I just found this thing on the Atlantic about cancel, so I will read it for you all. Do my duty. Through a linguistic process called dissimilation, in which one root word fractures into multiple words with similar sounding symbols,
Cancel shares its origins with two other familiar Latin words, cancer, which meant crab, tumor, or lattice, and carcer, which meant jail, as in incarcerate. The ancient Greek and Roman canceli, or cancellari, were lattice work screens used primarily in the court of law to partition the judge's tribunal. The attendant guarding this border, separating legal officials from everyday citizens, became known as the cancellarius, a word that eventually evolved into chancellor, as in the position. Chancellor is like a premier of a country. Or my university, the top spot is the chancellor. As the legal societies of antiquity gave way to the religion-based European Middle Ages, the word was used to describe a similar type of screen, this one around the church's altar, eventually giving us the name for that space, the chancel. More importantly, though, the latticework shape of the barrier also gave way to a new meaning, to cross out something, usually a piece of writing with thatched lines. This meaning of cancel that traveled across the Atlantic to America, eventually evolving into the cancel we know and love today. The saying love almost ironically, I believe. The crossing out of writing became something more metaphorical to nullify an obligation such as reservations or magazine subscriptions. This became more and more useful with the rise of American consumerism. The more opportunities to buy or subscribe, the more opportunities to return or cancel. The word began inching into its modern meaning toward the end of the century, as in songs such as Chic's "Your Love Is Canceled," C-H-I-C apostrophe S. But during the online social justice movements of the 2010s, cancel reached its peak semantic power as it circulated on social media. People who had done bad things but previously remained accepted by the culture at large began to be canceled, which, in addition to any potential real legal consequences, left the cancellee with a mark of shame and general disapproval. The word itself took on a power that left people paranoid, righteously indignant, or gleefully trigger-happy, depending on their vibe. Let's see who wrote this. Caleb Madison, and this is Valentine's Day, 2/14/22. Okay, through the Atlantic. This is from the New York Post, and it's about Super Bowl Sunday. Eric Garcetti, who's the mayor, and other celebrities. Let's see, Ellen DeGeneres.
This is from one of the newsletters that comes to my email. I'm planning to just let it expire. This is from what they call the Morning Brew. Tonight, an expected 117 million people will watch celebrities pitch cryptocurrency in between a few football plays. And what's being dubbed the Crypto Bowl, a batch of crypto exchanges, including FTX, Coinbase, and Crypto.com, C-R-Y-P-T-O. HBO.com will air Super Bowl commercials at a cost of up to $7 million per 30-second spot. The game is even being held at a stadium named after SoFi, S-O-F-I, a company that offers crypto trading. This isn't the first time startups from an emerging industry have used the Super Bowl to introduce themselves to a mass audience. Does anyone remember the 2000 Super Bowl between the Rams and the Titans? That was known as the dot-com bowl. Startups that were part of the dot-com wave of the early internet bought nearly 20% of the total. I listen to different podcasts, and some stuff I hear is unbelievable. So I gotta go to my next class, but let me read this. A woman with a severe nut allergy says she was kicked off an American Airlines flight after crew members told her they are required to serve nuts.
I listened to, The Bulwark. And listen to somebody say, oh, it's so bad. Having the Olympics in China do their human rights record. Those without sin cast the first stone. That's all I can say.
Hey, so this is long enough. Let's see. I'll keep that on there, and I'll listen to that again. This is Omar WJ. Weather tomorrow is supposed to be 19 and sunny. There's supposed to be a 50% chance of rain right now. And the English class podcast is over. So I will, that's how it goes.